and welcome to Blades Pod. It's Wednesday, the 17th of April. My name is Ben, and on the line, hopefully, is Andrew. Are you there, mate?
I'm here. We've had some mega issues again with the internet from my side. I don't know what to do anymore. I'm going to have to make a severe complaint to Mr. Branson if this carries on.
You sound all right now, so let's plough on.
Let's do it as quick as we can, yeah.
Exactly. Well, one thing that will speed it along is neither of us saw the Brentford game. 2-0 defeat at Brentford. OG from Ollie Arblaster, and then a late goal from someone. I can't remember how much attention I was paying to that game. I should say, I had a fairly good reason not to miss this. I was taking my granddad out for his birthday. 94 years young, mate, on Saturday. So,
wow.
Happy birthday, granddad.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, so that's what I was doing. Yeah, happy birthday to him. I think you were down the boozer, weren't you?
I were at pub, so it's not as good of an excuse, but as the season's done, in it, do you know what I mean? If I've got the opportunity to go for a couple of drinks, then I'm going to take that above watching United on a laptop, to be honest. So.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I feel like we're over the hump of possibly talking about old games instead of current ones. I feel like we're through that point now. Admittedly, just missing this game entirely contributes to that, I suppose. But if you want in-depth opinion on this game, I think there's a new red half of Sheffield just come out, I believe, in the last few hours or so.
Yeah, I've not heard it yet, but yeah, I've seen that come out, yeah. So
There's other stuff out there that actually does cover the Brentford game. I've just got two notes from that, I suppose. Where was it? One is the continued exclusion of Vinny Souza, who wasn't even a used substitute during this game. It did, of course, come on late on against Chelsea. Sort of feels like possibly paving the way for a season-long loan to somewhere in Europe this summer, I think. The fact that he's falling out of Wilder's plans and, you know, Ben Osborne's been being used in midfield instead alongside Arblaster. Are you reading similar into that, or do you think it's more innocent?
No, I agree. I think he'll be gone next season now. I don't know. I the fact that he can't get into this awful side is sort of a testament to the signing, I think, as a whole. But, I think he'll be gone. I think Wilder's obviously looking at people who might be here next season. And Ben Osborne, obviously, after the game, said that he wants to sign a new contract. So
I'm sure he does, yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing was no Jack Robinson, who got injured against Chelsea. Hopefully he'll be back for the Burnley game, because he was obviously a significant weapon in that game, although he did also score an own goal. You know, the 5-2 or whatever it was last season. His long throws certainly caused problems. I thought it was slightly notable that the captain's armband did not return to an alarm at Hodzic and instead went to McBurney. Old Jack the Lad McBurney, captain in United. I wouldn't have thought that like 18 months ago. Maybe that's Wilder's latest ploy of like sign a new contract is the captain's armband. If we believe that he gave it to Anel in the first place to try and get him to book his ideas up or whatever. But anyway, just a small thing I thought from that one.
I watched the highlights of this. I don't know if you noticed this. I watched the 3 minutes highlights first. I'd not seen anything of it. The first minute of the 3 minutes highlights is Adam Oxley just introducing the game. That sort of sums up how little happened. He's like, hello, welcome to the Brentford scene, whatever it's called. The G-Tech, is it? The G-Tech.
G-Tech, I believe.
Yeah, and welcome to them, and it's a great day, and then it was just like, that's it, and then the goals, and see you later.
Yeah. It sounded like quite a forgettable game. A handy result for Brentford, anyway, who pull clear-ish of the relegation places.
It's a poor result in terms of the Premier League, because they're a bad side at this level at the moment. I think they're about the first win in eight, or first win in nine, or something, Brentford. I mean, like I say, I'm not going to comment on the game. I don't know. But just to talk to people who were there, it seems like it were a nothing game. And, you know, we can't score and we couldn't score and they took the chances. But obviously, then another two goals disallowed as well. So it's, I don't know, after the high, sort of high against Chelsea, I did actually expect us to get something or at least get a couple of goals and have a good go at it. And it seems like it were a bit of a nothing match, really.
Yeah, another game where we kept teams to pretty few shots, which is nice. Just nine shots for Brentford. And for those of us who are paying attention to the will United concede over or under 100 goals, a two-goal defeat where we only concede two goals is actually quite good for us. So we're we got 6 games left, 16 goals to go to equal 100, 17 goals obviously to set the record. 17 goals in 6 games, like, that's, you know, so just keep it below 3 a game and you should be all right. But
no, yeah, we'll I think see. It's just the man. There's only on paper. There's Man U and Tottenham who you think could possibly do that to us. So I think we've got a chance, and I didn't think that'd happen actually. So that's a nice little.
Yeah, it's probably 50-50 now, I think, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
I'll take that. Right, well, that's a Brentford game. We've got Burnley coming up this weekend, which we will obviously talk about as well. But in the meantime, so we were, I'd say, fairly on a high after that Chelsea game. You know, I felt like we'd played really well. I felt like it'd been quite a good week for United. You know, we had the draw with Fulham, which we played pretty well in. We, you know, didn't get hammered at Anfield and actually were quite competitive in that one for large stretches. And then deserved to draw with Chelsea. And I'm thinking, like, that's quite a good week. You know, I think I literally said at the end of that last episode, like, this is the most upbeat I've felt about United for a little while, like probably the whole season up to this point. And then we get this news that we've got a 2-point deduction to start next season. And, I mean, where to start, mate? Where to start with this? I mean, let's just tick off the, like, the football side, like the competition point of view, if you like, the football point of view. 2 points, it's not that big a deal next season. Like, it's, you know, it's theoretically we could be back in the black after one game, I suppose. You know, it's less than a win, but it is also one, like, that's kind of taken a win off us next season. You know, that's one game, that's one more win that we'll have to get than 23 other teams if we're trying to get automatic promotion.
Yeah, there's two ways of looking at it. There's one where you look at the league this season and think 2 points looks massive. You know, you take 2 points off Ipswich or 2 points off Wednesday and they're probably out of the race, really.
I think if you take 2 points off, like, three quarters of the Championship right now, it basically ruins their season. So, now it's a big deal.
We don't know how consequential it's going to be. Right now in this Championship, it'll be a massive deal. In the season we got promoted, it won't be a massive deal. It's like losing it's like winning 1-0 in the 98th minute and losing 2 points by conceding a late equaliser or something like that. But the 2 points is the least of my worries, if you like. First things first, I'd like to say, I don't know if you agree, so we've not really spoke about this, is I think we've got away with it really, really lightly.
I think it could have been a lot worse. Maybe let me just set out, like, what this is for anyone who doesn't understand it. Hasn't really noticed it. So this is the EFL statement. United will be deducted 2 points at the start of the next season. The next season the club is in the EFL's jurisdiction, so that will obviously be next season, with a further 2 points suspended until the end of that season. This relates to, I'm paraphrasing, but this relates to last season, the 22-23 season, when the club defaulted on a number of payments to other clubs. These defaults cumulatively were in excess of 550 days. The suspended points deduction will be activated if the club defaults on any payment due to another club under a transfer or compensation agreement for more than 5 business days from the due date for payment. Now, United, their statement, you know, positions it slightly more favourably, said, the club's position was that the relevant sums had been paid in full on several occasions only days after they were initially due or renegotiated with future payment dates, la la la. So United are basically saying, look, we have paid, like, ultimately, you know, we don't actually owe these, you know, these payments aren't outstanding anymore, but clearly they were late in terms of, you know, they were owed on a certain date and we didn't pay them. If you dig into the actual details, it's not chicken feed, is it? It's quite big sums of money. And for 5 different players to, I think, 5 different clubs as well. So that's why we got a points deduction. I guess the silver lining, such as it is that this obviously, this was last season. This was before we got promoted, before we got the TV prize money riches that theoretically will resolve a lot of this. But forgive me if I'm not a little on edge about it, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, for a start, we have cheated. We bought players in we couldn't afford and got promoted. And with all the money that brings, you know, other clubs are played by the rules. If I were a Middlesbrough or Coventry fan or a Blackburn fan who were supposedly after Ahmed Hodzic, I'd be thinking, well, all right, 2 points have been knocked off them, but all that money they've got for it, you know, they've got the gold.
Yeah.
and we haven't. And it wasn't just a week we've missed, you know, it was over 550 days, which is why it went further than the embargo, and it was for five players.
Yeah.
So that's a year and a half, at least, that we haven't paid other clubs what they're owed. I'd be furious if it were us.
Yeah, and I guess just in case it's not obvious, I am furious. Like, this is yeah. absolutely wrong. I mean, use the word cheating there. It is cheating. Like, this is, you know, and from a business point of view as well, like, just pay your damn bills, United. You know, we had this... This obviously relates to last season where we, you know, we did go under a transfer embargo for largely the same thing. But at that time, we were, you know, the reports of not, you know, we weren't paying, like, some football, non-football suppliers as well.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I was really angry about that. Like, I just think that's so low. Like, you know, you're a business. The other businesses rely on the financial agreements that you have with them. And all right, like, I'm sure Liverpool aren't really sweating over the money that we've given them for Ryan Brewster being a bit late. But
that's not the point. No,
it's not the point. You're right. And some of these other teams really will be sweating over it. And we clearly, United, being in a you know, a position of financial fragility last season, we would absolutely be impacted by this if the you know, shoe was on the other foot. And, you know, say we had sold Berger or someone and, you know, Fulham or whoever just, like, not paid on time. Like, that could completely shaft us because then we might not be able to pay someone else or, yeah, we might have players going unpaid or, you know, yeah, it is embarrassing. Like, I am embarrassed and angry
it is
about
embarrassing.
It.
And the thing is, there's two ways to look at it. One is what I've seen, you know, it happened last season. We knew the state of the club, you know, and that's it, you know, move on. We knew how much of a state we've got into. We've learned from it and move on. My biggest fear, to be honest, is this isn't the end of it. Mm. On the Chiffing Out Away interview, the Prince, and you can look at that interview, he said to Hal and Nick that we only owe £2 million. That's taken him at face value. He doesn't know what he owes. So how can you be confident that going forward that something like this is not going to happen again when he seemingly didn't know how much we actually owed? It could have been a lie, obviously, but that would have been just as bad. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Sort of hiding. I mean, look, we've had an embargo points deduction. We've been a national embarrassment for two seasons out of the last four. Tried to sell to two fraudsters, one who were in jail. Didn't play suppliers. Couldn't turn under soil eating on. And that's with 5 years of Premier League money or parachute payments. No matter how well we're doing next season, I don't think I'll be the only fan who'll be thinking, well, what's going on behind the scenes? You know what I mean? We're going to get that extra 2 points knocked off. I don't know how anybody can be confident that we're not going to get into this situation again. Purely because people said, like, well, you know, we haven't bought as much this time. But we still will owe money to clubs.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like you say, 8 million was a lot of money. That's not a small amount of money. Look, I don't know. Are we the Prince can't afford to run a championship club without parachute payments. That's not his fault. But you have to be concerned about where we're heading if Wilder doesn't get this summer absolutely spot on. Because I looked at this before we started. Obviously, this is Wikipedia. It might not be completely spot on. But the only owner in the championship who has a lower net worth than the Prince is Tony Stewart at Rotherham. So you look at the amounts of money that the other owners are throwing into their clubs just to survive in the championship. I really don't know how we can continue with this owner if we don't get promoted in two seasons. And like I said, that's not criticism of him. It's just the harsh reality of what we're up against.
Yeah, I guess so. But yeah, if you ain't got the money, don't spend it, which obviously we have done. And yeah, you're completely right. If I was a Borough fan or whatever, I'd be pointing fingers and going, like, hang about, you know, all right, we finished, like, 15 points behind them or whatever, but, like, maybe it wouldn't have been 15 points if they hadn't signed some of those players. And I know one of them is pretty obviously Brewster, who's been a minimal contributor to us getting promoted again, but that's, like you kind of said, that's not the point. So there's five payments here that the EFL have said were late. One is, must be for Brewster because of the amount. There's three payments that were late. 1 million, three quarters of a million, and 3¾ million. So a total 5.5 million. Mm. There's €2 million for another one, for a permanent transfer. That's probably Berger, I think.
It has to be, because we've only signed I think we signed two players in 2 years. I think that's right. I think we only signed Brewster and Nell in the space of 24 months, I think.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. And this obviously, this is from April last year, so it's pre any summer signings that we made. There's $140,000 for a loan player, which probably Kadra, I guess. $62,500 for another low player, like maybe Kieran Clark, like just plucking that out of the air. And then €900,000 for another permanent transfer. So that's probably an L. That's basically everyone.
Yeah. That's the thing. This is why I do worry about. I've heard people say, you know, we'll be all right going forward now. I've cleared the decks. Everything's fine.
I hope it is, but I'm not taking it at face value.
Yeah, every single player we've signed outside of the Man City lads, and I imagine we got them on a pretty nice deal, given that they'll watch want to get them out. They don't need the money, obviously, Manchester City. So every player that we've signed, we've defaulted on payments for. You know what I mean? And again, this is what worries me overall, is, and that's with 5 years of parachute payments or Premier League money. We're going to slash the wage bill this year, which will obviously bring more money in. And I welcome the clear out. But we also see, once you start... There's two things here. We all want the club to be run correctly. But if you start trying to run the club self-sufficiently in the Championship, we've seen before what when McCabe did it, you're only going to end up one way. And things have got even worse, you know, since then, with the money going about. Like I say, the big thing for me is this going to impact his next season? This suspended 2 points. I'll be happily shocked if in 12 months' time we sat here and said, well, you know, that was the end of it. We had no more embargoes, no more, you know, we didn't have to sell players on the last day of the transfer window or anything like that. Because I think there's more to come, personally. But I've got no
intention. It's hard not to be on edge about it, as I said. Like, you know, we're clearly, as you alluded to, we're clearly not being given the full picture here, in the last 12 months. I mean, this is not news to Sheffield United. These proceedings, I'm going to pull up the exact date here. These proceedings started, the EFL sent a letter to United on the 30th of March, 2023. This is not news. The EFL formally referred the club to a disciplinary commission on the 19th of April, 2023. And as you said, this has not been remotely alluded to that this could happen by higher-ups at United, despite multiple sort of, you know, public-facing statements and interviews and stuff like that. I mean, this is why I don't really pay, you know, I haven't watched the Bettis interview on, or listen to the Bettis thing on Radio Sheffield. I haven't watched any of the Prince interviews because I've maintained, like, show me with your actions. I really don't care about your words. And when, you know, when you're telling me that some of those words contradict things that we know now, that it just puts me on real red alert, mate.
Yeah, I actually did think of you when I thought about the Sheffield United Way interview, is that because you said, you know, you weren't bothered about watching it. There was nothing against, you know, obviously their channel or anything. It was just as you said.
I just don't like Helen Nick. I mean,
rubbish, aren't they? Poor versions of me and you. But no, realistically, though, like, and the same with the Jimmy interview as well. I didn't watch that one because of the stuff that was said in the Sheffield United Way interview, where we're all, you know, Spanners, this great thing, and then we sold Berger, like, I think 3 days after it went out or anything. And to be fair, they got so much stick, Nick and Al, when we sold Berger, because it's the closest thing they could get to him and Darren Smith and Jimmy, whoever it is. It almost felt like they were using him as shields to me, you know. So I'm not really that impressed with how we've gone about communications. But as you said, the communication thing is the least of his worries, really, because if he's going on and saying this, and we had Bettis on Radio Sheffield last week, which I did listen to, and I think he speaks well, but look, Bettis is a CEO. He's not the money man. He can't really, you know, he's just the guy at the club. I think he gets a lot of undue stick. Mm. But there were a lot of things that he said, and now, you know, I'm thinking, you know, how loose are you being with the truth there, you know? And it's horrible when you don't feel like you can trust your club, and that's where I am, and I know other people are different. I've seen a lot of people, you know, say, look, we had to gamble. We had to, you know, either keep it in Dio Berger and take the 2 points and get promoted. I don't think it's as simple as that. I'd argue that it's not as simple as that. I don't think it was just who am I? I'm just a podcast or whatever. But we did try and sell in Dio Berger in January, despite, you know, the myth and the spin that went around it. We did try and sell him, and I didn't want to leave, and no one came in for Berger. I don't blame the Prince for trying to sell him, knowing what we know now, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, because you pay your debts first before anything else. We didn't gamble. We got lucky in a sense that no one came in for Berger and Ndiaye didn't want to leave. But at the same time, I don't, you know, if we'd have sold him, I'd have been furious. But if the money worries were as bad as this, as we know now, then you can't really complain. And if they were honest about it and said, look, we owe this, we owe 8 million, this is what I had to do, otherwise we're going to get points knocked off, I think a lot of fans would have understood that rather than the way it's gone around.
Yeah, absolutely. If it is a gamble, we're gambling with other people's money, and that's just flat out.
And that's cheating.
Yeah, and it's, like I say, look, I hate it.
Yeah, and like I say, people do different things. Look, we left Berg out of the Wrexham squad. I don't know what more signs people want about how we absolutely tried to get rid of Sander Berger in January.
It was pretty widely reported that him and his agent were in London, right? Like, I think we were trying to sell him to Fulham or someone at that point.
We didn't turn down bids or anything like that. And but at the same time, you know, at the time, if we'd have sold him, I would have been furious because I'd be. But if they'd have come out and told us just how bad things were, I think I personally would have had more understanding because the club and the way the club pays its debts and stuff is more important than this, you know, 1 year of Premier League embarrassment to get the 200 million that is going to go again in a couple of years if we don't go up. So, you know, you're just sort of kicking the can down the road unless we get bought out.
Yeah, I'm in a real bad mood about it all, mate, in case you and people listening can't tell. Like you said, I've not really spoke to you or anyone about it particularly, so I'm pent-up emotions coming out. I mean, you know, just to go back to the sort of, I guess it's not a charm offensive, but, you know, it totally makes sense for a club CEO to be on, like, local media, you know, just before season ticket renewals go live. You know, that interview was timed quite well with that. You know, that totally makes sense. You want to drum up interest and, like, you know, paint a bright picture and stuff. But first of all, I get the, you know, my prices have gone up, which, all right, maybe on a pro rata basis, like, you know, there's more games in the Championship. And it's still a good price, really.
Yeah.
I could have done without a price increase after what we've sat through this season. We've basically just punted the season and been embarrassed routinely. And I've enjoyed maybe 3 home games this season. I feel like a price freeze for renewal might have been a nice statement. But then the fact that they did that, they do all the interviews, they put the season tickets out for renewal, they put the prices up, and they know this is coming a few weeks later. Like, I've still not renewed my season ticket. Like, I'm going to. Of course I'm going to. I'm just being just being an idiot about it, basically.
I almost did it that. I think it was that morning.
Yeah. But I just don't feel like it right now, you know? Like, I'm going to do it eventually because, like, what else am I going to do on a Saturday? And, you know, that's like, you know, time with my mates, time with my dad and stuff. Of course I'm going to do that eventually. But, like, I'm not minded to give Sheffield United hundreds of my pounds right now, you know? I'm going to leave it right till the, like, end of the renewal deadline because I'm just in a bad mood with how the club's being run. And I don't feel like I'm being extreme in having that point of view, to be honest.
And I think the worst thing about it, no, it's not the worst thing, but one of the things about it is Betis came out, got a lot of praise for that interview, and people said, well, that's the case closed on this and that's case closed on that. The fact that the Prince has either lied or got it wrong on the Sheffield United Way interview, which you can go back and watch, now means that whoever comes out and says something, I don't know how you can, you know, without being devoted to you know, to the regime, if you like, who run Sheffield United, I don't know how you can trust what they're going to say or what they say is going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. Can we pay for this training ground? Like, I know this is...
That is a massive thing, that, because, you know, the training ground thing, I've seen loads of people online saying, well, how are we going to afford this if we can't... As I said, you know, I know the wage bill is going to go down, but if we don't go up in 2 years, I don't see how this owner, and this is not his fault, can afford to run a Championship club. I just don't see how he has the funds to do that, even with a lower wage bill. So how is he going to get a training ground as well? Until I start seeing that ground being digged, you know, that sort of, you know, the actual things being done to say that this has been started, I'm going to be very sceptical, I have to admit.
Yeah. Not a fan of this all. It's not, you know, it's not an accounting oversight. It's multiple players, multiple clubs, long period of time. We were taking the piss, basically, weren't we? I mean, you know... This isn't stretching your pounds, like, as far as they'll go. This is, like, it's just cheating, isn't it? I mean, what else can you say?
Well, like I say, some people have said, you know, I don't agree with this. And like I say, I'm only a fan. You know, I'm not... everyone's entitled to their opinion. And people said, oh, he's pulled a fantastic move off, genius move. You know, just take the 2 points and get promoted. I'd be amazed if this were a plan to do this. I'll be absolutely stunned. I think we've just got into an absolute mess and... The best thing I can praise the club about is that they've ended up coming out of it with such a, you know, what looks like an inconsequential 2 points. It might be a massive 2 points next season, but the punishment for me does not fit the crime. And I, you know, when I saw we got managed to, I was like, oh God, that's awful. So then you look into what we've actually done and you're thinking, actually, the best news about all this, in a way, is that we've got a minus two, because we could have had a transfer embargo for 3 months and a points deduction. 3 months, or 3 years, or whatever it is.
Yeah. The embargo, I don't think that makes sense as a punishment, like, because, you know, we have paid these funds now, and we do have, you know, the funds from being promoted to the Premier League, in theory, to solve cash flow problems. But at the same time, like, it could have happened, and if it had happened, it would have been absolutely disastrous. I mean, how are we supposed to sign players? You know, we're going to have, like, 10 players under contract, like, as it stands in the summer. So if we got into a situation where, like, the EFL had to, ratify every signing, basically, which Reading have had to do, obviously, you know, I hear that from my wife, like, quite detailed, you know, steps of what's had to happen with their transfer business in the last couple of years, then yeah, we're probably looking at back-to-back relegations, I guess, because we wouldn't be fielding a competitive squad at all.
So Nick DeMarco, 3 cheers for Nick DeMarco, lawyer who got us the 2 points, because he seems like he's done an incredible job. And like I say, if this is all a plan from the Prince and it were all planned out, you know, we're not going to sell him, we're going to do this, then yeah, it's a great move for someone who's not got much money. I don't think that's what's happened.
There's no way they can have known it would turn out like this.
No, they couldn't have, and we've got away with a fairly minor punishment, which might be a massive punishment next season.
Yeah,
you know, depending on what end of the table we're at as well. This is an extreme sort of anxiety sort of take, I suppose, looking at it, what I've been talking about in 2 years' time. But there's absolutely no getting away from this summer is the biggest summer since Wilder came in last time.
Yeah, bingo. It's going to be interesting. I'll say that much. It's, you know, I don't think we're going to have 108 days of inactivity or whatever it was like we had last summer. There's going to be a hell of a lot going on, both incoming and outgoing. I feel like I had one more. Oh yeah, we've touched on this before, and you know, if there's anyone listening to this for the first time, we've been quite praiseworthy of the Prince in the past, like, you know, going back a couple of years, which I think he absolutely deserved. But certainly from last summer, that was when I suddenly, like, red flags were being waved by Sheffield United.
It's really annoying, actually, because I feel like, you know, if people have been listening to this podcast in the last 2 years, they probably think we're massive Print, like Johnny, I'm sure. I'm not going to be dramatic and say I feel personally let down, but we did stick up for him. You know, when a lot of other people were criticising him, when all the stuff came out about Wilder the first time around, so I said before, we got a message of someone saying, you know, at the club saying thanks for being so even-handed. And I feel a little bit sort of that were wrong to do that, I have to admit.
Well, I think it was right at the time. It's just what's happened since has been objectively bad. There's no defending it. Like,
but some of the things that people were warning against, again, Johnny, I'll show
you.
Yeah,
that's true.
I was like, I'm not seeing that. I said it to him, you know what I mean? Like, you know, not seeing that. And you know, a lot of things he's been proven right about and I've been wrong about. So I do feel sort of, and I think it almost like sort of, if I were just, if I'd have been attacking him from the start, I think it would have been more easy to take that. Well, yeah, I knew this was going to happen, but I didn't, you know, I was wrong about what were going to happen to the club in the immediate future after the Wilder left the first time around. And yeah, it's a, like I said, we're going to be, for me, it's almost like looking over your shoulder all season going, what's going on there? Do you know what I mean? Like, we could be doing as well as we possibly could be, you know, being top of the league and thinking, yeah, but are we going to have to sell a player now because we've messed this up? Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, as I say, I'm obviously quite close to the Reading fan experience this season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there've been multiple times where, like, Reading have got a good result, like they've got a win, and my wife's like, well, EFL's just going to take, they might just take those points off us, like, in a few weeks, because, you know, there's something else that we haven't done that's about to come out. And obviously their situation is different there.
Of course, they have
a, like, really dodgy owner, whereas I think ours is just poor.
Yeah, I don't think this is the thing as well. Look, again, he's not transfer, he's not raised the ticket prices to a massive amount. For me, and I could be wrong, it just feels like the club's being run in a just in a poor way, like not in a malicious way. Yeah. I don't think he's thinking I'm taking all the money and, you know, give me. It's nothing like that. I just think I'll tell you what I actually think's happened is I'm thinking when we slacked Slav and the Prince didn't even bother turning up for the Eckenbottom, arrival conference, which were an absolute disaster in itself. From that day, it feels to me like we've just, or the Prince or the owner or whatever, has just took the eye off the ball and just think, I want to sell this and I'm not really bothered what happens. You can't do that with a football club, especially at this level.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel has happened. I think we've took his eye off the ball. We've been really haphazard without how the club's being run. And, you know, we're getting to the point where we can't train on pitches. As a club aiming to go in the Premier League, it's ridiculous.
That is the thing, innit? I keep coming back to that. Like, how Mickey Mouse this is.
We're this is a
Premier League club. Like, we've not been outside the what? Have we finished below 10th in the second tier in the last 6 years? Like, you know, we're not Bury here or, I don't know, some other non-league team or something. This is supposed to be like a top 25 club in the country, basically, and we're just being run in a way that does not befit a club of that status, I suppose.
Other club of our stature in terms of the places in the leagues, in the top half of the Championship at least, has got into the situations that we've got into. The ones who have had points knocked off, such as Forest and stuff like that, is because they've overspent and to the point where they've gambled, you know, to a massive amount. And to be fair, might not work out for Forest, but it probably will work out for Forest and they'll stay up and it'll not really matter.
Yeah.
Ours has nothing to do with that. Ours is we're not paying for players that we're not paying for loan players. Do you know what I mean? It's not as if we're talking the Brewster thing. Yeah, I agree. We gambled big time then, and it's backfired.
That was
I don't
4 years ago. Very different situation.
That's what we're going to get into. Yeah, we gambled for that. If we knew that this could potentially cause problems 4 years down the line, then why the hell did we sanction that deal?
Yeah, I guess my final thing, I think I was sort of starting down this lane, but we've talked in the past about the Prince being lucky. Like, maybe he's not a good owner, but he might be a lucky owner. And you know, he tried to sell us to two con men, and fortunately the EFL process was in place. You know, if that happened 12 months earlier, I'm not sure that process was in place, and we might well be owned by somebody who is either in jail or, you know, wanted by the FBI, being sued by the, I don't know, whatever it is, the SEC or something for fraud. Mm-hmm. I think we have got lucky with just a 2-point deduction. Let's hope he continues to be lucky and there's no more, you know, punishments on the way. But I'm on edge about it, definitely. I'm not content to just be like, well, this is in the past now. We got promoted. We got the Premier League money. We haven't really spent very much since we got promoted, you know, in terms of net spend, cutting the wage bill in the summer. Everything should be fine now. You know, blank slate, go again. I'm not comfortable making that assumption. I hope that's the case. I'm just not comfortable making that assumption.
Well, I think the last 3 years has shown that, I don't know, maybe logic suggests you're right not to be comfortable, but that doesn't mean it's going to happen. Do you know what I mean? That we've got a lot of evidence in the past to, you know, year to 18 months or whatever to suggest that this might not be the end of it. But let's hope it is, and let's hope it's just a mistake. You know, mistakes were made. He did take his eye off the ball, and now it's like, whoa, we can't get into that situation again. Let's start again. Wilder obviously touched on it in his interview. I don't know if you heard Wilder's interview after the game, and he were actually a lot more. I don't know. I thought we were a lot more annoyed than I thought it would be, because he'll obviously have known about it, you'd have thought anyway, but never known. Who knows with our club? But he sort of just said, well, you know, it's hard enough to get promoted without 2 points. He said something along the lines of, so we need to make sure that never happens again or something. And look, it's after a defeat. I thought it would be more like, oh, we've got to get on with it, you know, roll on. Do you know what I mean? But he seemed a bit more annoyed than I thought it would be about it.
Well, that's that. Any other things you want to say about that? I can't ignore it. It's going to be there the whole of next season. There'll be a little asterisk next to us on the league table saying Sheffield United had 2 points deducted. Like,
if we do a Eckenbottom season, you know. By the way, we should probably praise Eckenbottom as well. That's another thing.
That's true. Yeah.
All this stuff going on behind the scenes, and he still gets a lot of stick, Eckenbottom. And maybe it was out of his depth in the Premier League. We've not really seen that much improvement under Wilder, but we have seen some improvement. Do you know, out of all the managers we've had, he's the book that I'm waiting to read. I'm like, sort of, please tell us exactly what we're going on behind the scenes that last season.
Yeah, tell all would be fascinating. He doesn't strike me as someone that's that's going to spill the dirt, you know, get the air dirty laundry, whatever. Yeah, it doesn't strike me as that kind of person. Yeah. But it would be an interesting account, I imagine. But yeah. We said it before, but this just brings it home again. Like, thank God he got us promoted last season. Obviously, you've got to credit people like Ajay and Tommy Doyle and Sander Berger, who aren't with United anymore either, who played a massive part in that. But yeah, thanks, Paul Heckingbottom.
And this is the thing where the people sticking up to the Prince will say, well, look, he must have known about this upcoming financial issues, and he still sort of got in the likes of Doyle and McAtee and, you know, and L, obviously, we bought. I wonder if he genuinely thought we were going to sell the club by this point, and he thought
they could deal with it.
They could deal with all this trouble down the line. He can't presume that again, obviously.
No. Well, that's that. 2-point deduction to start next season. So let's hope we're not, let's hope we're not in the red in terms of points for too many games of next season, but we'll see. We started slowly.
Bottom of both leagues at once, which is you'll never see that again, innit? One of those. I had to change my pinch article actually, because I thought we'd have to mention the points deduction, you know what I mean? Like, to jump to the end of the season review. So it's like, it's unbelievable. Not content with ruining this season, we've already made plans for next season. Like, it's fantastic.
Oh, bloody hell. I think I said something like, short of the ground burning down, I don't know what else can go wrong this season. I thought, why have I spoken that into existence? Like,
that's like an insurance job, like the Phoenix Knights, Phoenix Club. So.
Jesus. Well, we are back at Bramall Lane, where hopefully no fire-related incidents will occur this weekend. Burnley are coming to town for El Crapico. Is that what we're calling this?
I've heard not just repeat on this podcast, but I think I've been very politically incorrect to say in any walk of life. So
I think you're probably right. One of the few remaining like actual good chances to get a win this season, I think, or certainly at home anyway. Burnley are better than us, but they're still not very good. I think there's going to be a lot of gallows humour at this game. There's going to be a lot of, we're worse than you from both sets of fans. Although that went well for us last time, didn't it, at Burnley, when there's that sort of viral video of fans, saying we're worse than you, basically, and then Burnley gets 5-0.
The biggest concern about me with this game is the injuries, to be honest. Bogle obviously got taken off injured. If Robinson's not back, I presume we're going to have to play Holgate at right back. I've seen people say put Sam Curtis in. I've seen a couple of under 21 games of Curtis. I think he's got potential, but he doesn't look ready for me. But then again, I thought the same about Brooks, and he came in a couple of good games. But I imagine Holgate will start as either just an orthodox right back or wing back.
I think if Robinson's out, I think we might end up leaving Holgate in defence and play Osborne at right wing back.
Could do that. Yeah, could do that.
Zarushi obviously started at Brentford, didn't he? And apparently did okay. I just ran out of gas after an hour because he's barely played. You're right. It's not going to be our strongest team. If you've got Robinson in there, you can start him at Burnley, then it's not a million miles off the team that really obliterated him at Bramall Lane last season. And I guess their team's quite different now. Let me just try and bring up the that one. It was 5-2, right?
Yeah, 5-2. That's correct, yeah. I had to think about that, because I thought we were 5-1, but we were 5-2. We were 2-1 down, weren't we?
Yeah, actually, we're probably missing quite a few players from this, really. Although, I don't know if this was our strongest team that day. We started Ender Stevens.
I remember that team when it came out. Fleck, Osborne and Norwood in midfield were it.
That's the one, yeah, with Ender Stevens at left wing back. So there's players here like McBurney, obviously, like Ahmed Odzic, he scored that day. Hopefully Jack Robinson will play, who gave them fits last season. I'm curious to know what they do with their goalkeeper. Muric, who played that day and had an absolute stinker, has come into their first team, hasn't he, this season? And he allowed Sander Berger to score an own goal, shall we say.
Brilliant, They spent 18 million on Trafford, and I think he's been a bit of a... I mean, he's only young, but I think he's been fairly, well, really poor by for the money they've spent. So they've gone back to Norwich, and then he's, yeah, just basically like a ridiculous goal in last week.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to find out how many games he's played in a row, like in terms of is he actually their number one at the moment? Yes, he has. He's started the last six games, five games. Yeah, so obviously Gerbich is not having a good time of things, as we talked about last week. Not massively at fault for either of the goals at Brentford, I thought, although it sounds like another fairly unencouraging performance. So this could be a game with some harem scarum goalkeeping and maybe another high scoring even game, if you like. You know, like the Fulham game.
Bring it on. Let's have a 7-7 or something like that.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I'm sure there'll be some fairly jovial gallows humour going about who's the worst out of these two. But in all seriousness, if Burnley want to stay up, they have to win this game. And if we beat them, that's probably the nail in the coffin for them. So there's that little edge to it. You know, that'd be a nice sort of... we talked about that, didn't we? Like, can we ruin someone else's season?
Yeah.
That's probably a knockout blow for them if we beat them on Saturday.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't think they're realistically thinking of staying up, I'd like to know, actually, because obviously I do sort of go on their forums and stuff every now and then, see what they're saying, and they very much like us, like, yeah, we're down, this will back in December, but then they'll pick up these odd points or wins, they're like, oh, you know what, we're only 4 points, because all the points deductions this season, it's been a weird season, and I think, I think a lot of teams will be feeling a little bit... us and Burnley in particular will be feeling, this were a good season to stay up, really, with everything that's been going on off the pitch. So
Yeah, absolutely. So it's, I'm not sure how the timings of the other matches line up, but it's possible that they will be 9 points adrift with 4 games to play for them. After this round of fixtures, which is, I mean, there's no way you're coming back from that, even if you're a good team, and they're obviously not. I just don't want it to be like oh my God, they're so much better than us, which I think is a possibility.
Is the biggest worry for me, and I've thought this for a while, that, I think, by all accounts, and I've not seen them, so this is just based on what their fans are saying, they haven't actually been playing that bad for a lot of the season. They just can't defend, going forward. I saw them a couple of games, and they do look better than us. If they get a, 2-3 win or something like that, I mean, it's not going to make a massive difference, certainly not this season, but just for morale purposes of our fan base going, for next season. So it'd be nice. I think it would be a bit of a, even though we're going to have a different team next season, it will be a bit of a confidence booster to be, a team who's spent 100 million this season. And, if we can sort of get 3 points over them, it might be that little psychological boost.
Yeah, I think, we got spanked 5-0 by these last game. And obviously we finished second to them in the championship last season. So, I mean, there's a little bit of, footballing rivalry there. I mean, as a fan base, I'm not remotely bothered about Burnley. But, from the players' point of view, there has to be some pride there of, we were good last season, and, it was only Burnley that stopped us winning the title, if you like. Everyone else was... no one else was better than us. And this season, that was... I can't say that was the lowest point, but it was certainly the end of the Heckingbottom era, the 5-0 hammering with McBurney sent off before halftime, I think it was. So I would hope from the players' point of view, they want to right a bit of a wrong there. And obviously we have a new old manager in now, and I'm sure he won't want to lose to Vincent Kompany. That'd be a sort of feather in the cap just to, just end their season, basically, before Kompany goes off to be manager of Chelsea or something next summer.
You won't be surprised. Like I say, it's one of the games I'm looking forward to this season. I'm a bit of a dampener on it, the way that we, basically had no performance against Brentford by all accounts, and the -2 stuff's obviously put a bit of a dampener on the club and stuff like that. But it is still a game that, it's one of the few games this season we can go into and think, might get something here.
I'm honestly I am looking forward to seeing Arblaster and Hamer as a midfield, and maybe Osborne, as I said, will be shunted out to right back, and so maybe we'll have Souza or something in midfield instead. But seeing those two again against a team that isn't that good, that should have, it should really be a championship game, this, shouldn't it?
It's going to be.
I mean, in terms of these two teams right now would not be out of place in the Championship this season.
No, absolutely not.
So, you know, hopefully we'll have a bit of the ball, you know, 50-50 possession maybe, get our blaster on the ball. Let's see, you know, Hamer, the more he has the ball, the more chances he has to do something good with it. So, yeah, looking forward to that. Are you going to be booing Sander Berger?
I will not be booing Sander Berger myself. No, I, you know, as we've seen now, I think everyone who were part of that promotion team deserves an unbelievable amount of credit for saving the club, to be honest.
Yeah, and
he were a massive part of it. It's not, yeah, I've got no problems with.
He's going to get booed. I'd just like to put on record.
I know.
If you boo him, I'm going to think less of you. Sorry, just don't boo him. He doesn't deserve that, and not just because he's a ridiculously handsome man.
As I said last week, and someone complimented this in the pub, actually.
Very nice.
About him being touted around like a lad's mag on a submarine, which I'm very proud of as a freight. Yeah, we did for years, and he never put his head down. He got on with it, and he eventually got us promoted and got us to an FA Cup semi-final, and he were a massive part of last season. So, yeah.
I think I probably said this at the time enough, but I don't begrudge him not signing a new contract. I wouldn't sign a new contract with us last summer. Like, if I was him, I absolutely would run my contract down and get a big old payday and a choice of, you know, choice of destination this summer. Yeah. But I also believe, had we chosen to just hang on to him and accept that we're losing him for nothing or even selling him in January, he wouldn't have been, you know, dossing it off like
no way.
He's been playing as hard as he did the whole time we were here, and
no, I don't believe. Yeah, I think he'd have been absolutely fine. I don't think he'd have put. Yeah, he won't have down tools. I don't think, because he could have down tools the moment we got relegated when, you know, we were trying to sell him. So
yeah, or even before that, you know, when he was stuck in a hotel in Sheffield during a global pandemic, like once in a century pandemic. But
yeah, I've got good memories of him. You know, I know it wasn't. I would say it wasn't worth the fee that we paid. Mm-hmm. I don't think we probably did expect more from him. But as a Championship player, maybe not as a Premier League player, but as a Championship player, when he played and he were on it, he was a bit of a luxury player. But it were better than, you know, on his day, it was as good as anything in the Championship. It's just that he probably didn't have that day as much as we'd have liked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but a big part of us getting promoted, we absolutely would be better if he still played for us now. You know, like, even if you remove all the injuries, he'd start for us, like, every single game, yeah, I think, with the squad that we've got at the minute. You know, I'm not going to be, crying salt tears or anything, like, you know, when his name's read out, but I'm not, you know, I think he deserves more respect than getting booed.
Like that.
Yeah, exactly. So that's Burnley on Saturday. I am looking forward to that. I think I'll be able to park my feelings about this -2 thing. I mean, I'm going to have to, because like I said, it's gonna linger over us for well, the whole of next season as well. You know, that suspension of the suspended points deduction runs till next season. So yeah, we'll be on tenterhooks, I suppose, all the way through that as well. But yeah, Burnley Saturday. Bring it on. Give me that one more home win, Blaze. We're just waiting for that, and then I can sort of check it out for the season, I think.
Yeah.
What do you want to plug, mate, before we finish?
Yeah, a view from Brentford. Very arrogant. They always are online. I don't know what they're like in real life. Some of their fans have all over the S2 board. I believe the infamous Banana is back. Remember Banana at the S2?
Don't forget that.
He's one of the couple of people that I actually blocked on there, because he started sending me DMs.
Saying no bids.
About my club and all this sort of stuff. And I'm like, I've not got time for this. So that's the view from Brentford, with the worst team they've ever seen at the G Tech, which is just a, what? The G Tech? Come on.
They've only played there for like a year,
haven't
they? Is that a joke?
Stadium. No, that's what they said. Honestly, they genuinely said we're the worst team that they've seen at the G Tech. It's obviously in the Premier League here in the last 2 years, but it just reminds me of like somewhere where you go to a concert, the G Tech. Do you know what I mean?
Where is G Tech apart from getting lots of free plugging on this? So like G Tech.
No, absolutely no idea, to be honest. But don't whatever they do, don't buy from them.
Well, apparently they manufacture cordless home and garden appliances such as vacuum cleaners, floor sweepers, grass trimmers, lawn mowers, hedge trimmers, and power tools. Well, that's an intimidating name for your stadium, isn't it? That's rubbish. I thought it would be like, I don't know, something a bit cooler than Hoovers and lawn mowers. But fair enough, Brentford.
If anyone wants to look at all the views from Brentford, I always put a tag on it. You can click in it. And they're very very salty fan base when they lose.
First time they're beating us in a long old time, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, probably going back to League One.
Yeah.
2015 or so.
Yeah, I would have thought so. Yeah, maybe under Wilson.
Yeah, I think so.
But yeah, so that's Roy's view from, and the Madeley competition, UK sitcom competition, is at the quarterfinal stage. We recorded last night, The Thick of It versus Peep Show. A lot of editing to do because my internet were playing up, so bear with Liam as he puts that together because there's a lot of piecing together. But that should be out this week at some time anyway, and then we'll put the votes out. And thanks to everyone who voted. We've got 2,600 votes, I think it were, like for each one, so that were really good.
Fantastic. That's a heavyweight clash. Can you reveal the four quarterfinal lineups?
Yeah, so it's The Thick of It versus Peep Show, Phoenix Knights versus Father Ted, the Ricky Gervais Derby Extras versus The Office, and I'm Alan Partridge versus Gavin and Stacey.
Ah, so Gavin and Stacey squeak through in the end.
Despite all the criticism, every time I put it up, why is this here? Why is this on? Got through the group stage and now it's into the quarters. So
voting for this goes live, what, when the episodes have...
probably a couple of weeks yet. But if you want to listen to the podcast, like I said, the first one should be out. It'll be out this week at some point, whenever Liam manages to get round my...
Love it. New thing for BBC Sports Hour. It's talking about the points deduction. Obviously, that's the only topic to talk about this week. So that's on the BBC Sport website. If you click through to the Sheffield United page, you'll find that on there. New Women of Steel. I didn't get around to doing one last week. I was too busy. They're on an international break, but they do. The women's team do start playing again this weekend. Two games left. I've written about Izzy Goodwin this week because I started writing this last week as like an aside in something else, and then it ended up being like 1,000 words. So I thought I'd spin it out into its own article. But Izzy Goodwin is the second top scorer in the championship. And she may not play the last couple of games, unfortunately. She got an injury in the last game. So her season may be done, but what a season it has been. And I've written about that for Women of Steel. I will edit that once I've edited this podcast, and hopefully that'll be out this afternoon. So that is womenofsteel.substack.com. Right, mate. Well, nice quick podcast for Eggy there, if you're still listening. 52 minutes and counting, I think. Thanks for your time, mate. Thanks to everyone for listening. Hope I didn't annoy you too much with my ranting, everyone, but I don't know, I try to be honest and give you my true feelings on this podcast and not sort of not try and couch what I'm saying, I guess. So it all comes from the heart, whatever it is.
Prove us wrong, Prince. You know, I want to be sat here at the end of next season, no points knocked off, we got promoted, and you're thinking this guy has got a club together now. Do you know what I mean? He's sorted the finances out. The training ground's been started. And I will praise him again. I want to praise him again.
Yes, yes, we absolutely do. Right, mate, thank you for your time. I'm sure I will see you on Saturday. Thanks again.
Yeah, thanks a lot, mate. See you later.